The opinions expressed on all WRCA programs are those of the program producers and do not express the views of WRCA, its staff, or management.
A member of the Beasley Broadcast Group, this is 1330 WRCA, Watertown, Boston.
It's time for Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM.
Down in New Orleans where everything's fine, all them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop, wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop, wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop, pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start fighting all night, knocking down the windows and tearing out doors, drinking half a gallon and calling for more. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Or cherry. Wine and pass it all around. Age runs up for tonight. All those cats, they love sweet wine. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Port cherry. That's what I'm talking about. Sneaky Pete. Out down on Rampart Street at Willie's Den. He wasn't selling but a little gin. One cat wanted a bottle of wine. If that cat for a dollar and a dime, a drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
What sherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Heaven hand.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh, boy. Pass that bottle to me. I got a nickel, have you got a dime? Let's get together and get a little wine. Some by the fifth, some by the fourth. But when you buy sherry, now you're doing things smart. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Drinking wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Wine, spurdy, drink wine, pop, pop. Pass that bottle to me.
And that's Stick McGee and his buddies. And I don't really know how old that one is. That's from an Atlantic recording, The Soul Years, 25 Years of Soul on Atlantic Records. Tonight, Tube Talk welcomes back The Ron. Yes, kids, that's right, Mr. Ron Ramirez, a.k.a. The Ron, author of Philco Radio, 1928 to 1942, and proprietor of philcoradio.com, which is home to historical, technical, and sales information on Philco radios, as well as the place to find the Philco Forum, an interactive forum, a real fun place to be for collectors to gather around and talk about Philco primarily, but there's also some spots there to discuss other makes and models. Welcome aboard, Ron. Thanks for coming down tonight.
Finally, the Ron has come back to Tube Talk.
That's right. You may take over the show with an introduction like that, let me tell you.
I don't know about that. You do a much better job than I could, I think.
Well, hey, just compliments and kudos. I have to say the new look, philcoradio.com website, is awesome, as we say up here in Boston. And I enjoy checking out, I usually go right to the forum, but I tried to check out a little bit more of the layout of the new, the way the site has been enhanced. And I have to say, easier on the eye and truly a joy to peruse, and really is a treasure trove of information, and I know for you it was a labor of love to get it updated.
That's exactly right, Paul. I appreciate those kind words. It is a labor of love, and it's not finished yet. I still have to completely redo the Philco Radio Gallery. When it's finished, it's going to have more pictures and better pictures, but as you can imagine, cutting the backgrounds out of pictures and things like that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it's an awful lot of work, and if you wonder why, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll talk to collectors and they say, gee, you know, I know there's a site for Philco enthusiasts. Why aren't there sites for guys who like RCA or guys who like Bendix? And while you might find some simpler, smaller sites out there, you know, the reason I don't think you find brand-specific sites, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of time that you commit, a ton of specific knowledge about Philco that goes into your Philco site, and an awful lot of web savvy, and you have all of that and put it to great work on the Philco site. It's a lot of water to carry, and it's such an undertaking. I think it's probably, you know, scares a lot of people who would think about launching some type of a website that would encompass you know, a major corporation and all these makes and models. It's a ton of work. So thanks for having it for us, because I know a lot of people enjoy a great deal and get a lot out of it, a lot of good information on how to preserve their Philcos. So before we get into the main portion of our discussion here, maybe we could just do a quick recap. Ron, I know you've attended a couple of big recent shows. One was down in Kutztown, and the other one was up in Lansing, the Michigan Antique Radio Club meet. Maybe you could give us your perspective on those two shows.
Well, those were two meets that I had never been to, but I'd wanted to go to for several years. Through various reasons, I could not make it until this year. And this year I determined that I would finally go to those two meets in particular. And thankfully I was able to do so.
Well, you know, it's always great when you can get out to some place you haven't been. And I know Kutztown went off very well. And, you know, it's just, I very rarely see anybody with anything negative to say about it. There's so much to look at and so many people to meet. And I know that, was that up at Lansing that you had a little Philco table? You had a table set up to help do some meet and greets?
I did have a table set up at Lansing at the Extravaganza. I publicized on Facebook that I would be having a meet and greet. I also publicized it on the forum. I don't know how many people read that or if it did any good or what, but we did meet some good folks, and we appreciate everyone stopping by and saying hello, and it's always very much appreciated when people let you know that they like what you're doing with PhilcoRadio.com and the Philco Forum. That's the payoff, you know. It's, yep. As you said earlier, the entire site's a labor of love, and stop by and let you know that they appreciate your work. It's just really a great feeling.
Now, you know, PhilcoRadio.com strikes me overall, it's an extremely busy site. I mean, I see so many posts just on the forum side alone. Do you have any idea what the traffic is overall on that site? I mean, it must be a phenomenal amount of visitors.
Offhand, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to go into
sure.
the administration panel and look to get the numbers, but we don't have the traffic of the Antique Radio Forum, certainly, but if you say being specific, Philco only, although we do discuss some other radios as well, we do have a fair amount of traffic, and it stays pretty busy, and it certainly keeps me busy.
Well, you know, and the other thing that I would encourage any listener who is for the first time hearing about this website, if, you know, you're not a big Philco fan, you know, that's okay. You know, it's all right. I mean, we'd prefer you get into the groove with the rest of us, but there is a section on other radios. There's a little section on, you know, we call it Old Ron's Bar and Grill, Ron has up there, and it's a place to swap stories about meats or general discussion on radio and the radio hobby. So there's some other stuff there. You don't have to be a Philco fanatic, though you might be after you visit the informational side of the website and check some of the stuff out. So we encourage everybody. It's philcoradio.com, and just a treasure trove, as we said earlier, of info. So, you know, Ron, probably everybody's sitting back at home saying, well, you know, I can't wait till we start talking about the radios. And we're going to go down a slightly different fork in the road here tonight. And as some people may not know, Ron almost took another avenue in life when he was very young. You had a radio hero, from what I understand, Steve King on WLS in Chicago, and that almost pushed you into the entertainment business, the DJ business, the radio business. Let's listen to that little clip. I have a little clip here that Ron provided us. Let's take a listen to it, and then we'll come back and talk about young Ron and in his early career in radio.
WLS Music Radio, Steve King, Wild Chair, yeah! And do it now!
Well, that was kind of a classic sound there from the, what was that, the 70s, Ron?
It was actually from November 27th, 1977.
All right, and, you know, that was your one of your radio heroes, huh? He was out on WLS in Chicago, was it?
Yes, he was, Steve King. He was on the air from 10 at night until 2 in the morning Central Time every night.
And that was a big WLS, which is actually, I believe, world's largest store is what the call letters signify. That was an old, I think Sears Roebuck started that station up back in the 20s. It's a really storied station. And what was it, primarily a music station back in those days?
It started out, as you said, under the ownership of Sears and Roebuck in the 1920s, and they selected those call letters, WLS, as world's largest store, and then it fell into the ownership of Prairie Farmer magazine for a number of years until ABC bought the station in 1960, and that's when it became a rock and roll music station, and it remained a music station until the late 80s when they finally switched to talk radio.
Well, I imagine they must have had great coverage out there, 50,000 watts right in Chicago, and had an influence on you. You actually, when you got out of high school, from what you were telling me, you had a brief career in radio for some time, huh?
Well, listening to Steve King and John Records Landecker and the other folks on WLS made me decide I wanted to be a DJ when I grew up. And so I studied for my FCC third class ticket, which you had to have in those days, and passed it on the first try. And then I started looking for a job, was fortunate to get a job fairly quickly at a local station, but it was sort of a letdown when I found out that the management didn't want me to be the next Steve King. They just wanted me to, as The Rock would say, know my role, shut my mouth, except for when I had to say something, and let it go at that. I don't think they really appreciated the value of entertaining the people. They kept telling me that I didn't need to talk at people, I needed to talk to people. But I think they really missed the mark when it came to entertaining the people, which Steve King and John Landecker excelled at.
You know, unfortunately, I think it's a symptom that still evidences itself today. You know, so many stations, especially music stations, that are left when you tune in. I don't know how they program the music. I hear an awful lot of the same stuff. I hear an awful lot of very homogenized-sounding personalities on air. And, you know, people who you would say, you know, you wouldn't tune in if you were living somewhere in upstate Pennsylvania, say, you know what, I'm going to try to pull in WLS tonight. There's just not a lot of stuff that I would go out of my way to listen to. So, you know, I think hopefully probably was a start of a trend that's just kept on rolling and kept on rolling. But you did work in radio for a little while, though, even though you weren't quite pleased with the philosophy of that station.
I actually stayed there for just under 10 years, believe it or not. And
that's a good chunk of time.
Very long story behind that, which I'm, for lack of time, I'm not going to go into, but suffice to say that I stayed there, as I said, and moved on to another nearby radio station for two more years before I got out of radio for good.
Now, from what I gather here, you actually did get Steve King on the phone once. You wanted to give him a call to see if he could give you some sage words of advice, and didn't quite go over as well as you'd hoped, huh?
That's true. That's right, Paul. I actually worked up the courage to call my hero, Steve King, shortly after I began my career in radio, and He actually hung up on me.
Well, hey, I mean, you got him on the phone, which in today's world where, you know, it's press one, press two, press three, please don't, you know, hope to speak to a live person. That was a major achievement, just the fact that you got him to say hello. So, you know, I'd still chalk it up in the win column.
But WLS had a part-time fill-in DJ at the time named Jeff Davis, and I called one night and got hold of Jeff, and he was a very nice person and very helpful, willing to listen to a young newbie and pass along a little bit of advice, and that was really helpful to me. I've never forgotten that, and I really appreciated that.
Well, you know, it is nice when somebody that, you know, we view in a lofty position in any business really is willing to take a few minutes and talk to the up-and-comers, whether it's, you know, the 300 baseball hitter who's been doing it for 10 years who talks to the rookie, or the veteran DJ who has a few minutes to talk to somebody who's just started to get into the hobby. It reaffirms your faith, and there is a little humanism even in big business and in big entertainment. So anyway, well, that's an interesting story. And hey, you know, if the moons had been aligned a little differently, you might be interviewing me instead. I could be running the RCA radio forum, and you could still be the big DJ and radio personality. But, you know, well, I'm glad you're doing the Philco thing and you're happy with what you're doing in your life, because it's a benefit to us all. Anyway, we're going to play some music tonight, because if you've been a fan of the show and you've listened to some of our earlier episodes, we did have a big band night with Ron previously, and it went over pretty well. Ron has provided some great cuts of some of his favorite music, so we're going to play a little bit of that as our music selections for this evening on the show. And let's get going here. You've got Jimmy Dorsey with Helen O'Connell on the vocal, Embraceable You. Can you give us a little background on that piece?
The song was written by George and Ira Gershwin. And,
love Gershwin.
Even today, people still know who George and Ira Gershwin were. And this song became another, as they call, standard, performed by many different singers, Billie Holiday. There's even a choreographed song and dance routine done by Ginger Rogers and other performers as well. This particular song we're going to hear is from 1941. Now, Jimmy Dorsey's brother, Tommy Dorsey, also recorded this tune with Joe Stafford singing. And Tommy Dorsey's version was actually more popular. Yet, if you ever find the song and listen to it, I don't know how you will feel. In my opinion, it seems like Joe Stafford was kind of bored and just, you know, treated it like another job, whereas Helen O'Connell really put heart and soul into it and made it sultry and seductive, like she's inviting her fella in. Into
sure.
The boudoir, if you will.
Well, like any good actor, entertainer, you know, she was trying to get into the mood and do the part. So without ado, let's go to Jimmy Dorsey.
Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, my irreplaceable you. Just one look at you, my heart goes tipsy in me. You and you alone. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to mama, do. My
Hey, that was great. And, you know, another neat little fact you mentioned to me, Helen O'Connell was married to Frank Duvall. He's one of these enigmatic little figures in the world of music. I just find him so fascinating. You know, not only was he married to Helen O'Connell, I mean, I guess he started playing violin in his dad's orchestra. He was about 14 years old. He joined the Musicians Union. They were playing in Chinese restaurants. He goes on and shows up in many, many places. I have a King Sisters album that he did the orchestra work and the arranging work on. And then he shows up as sort of this deadpan comedic character on Fernwood Tonight, you know, as Happy Kine. And he did shows for music for shows on TV. He arranged big bands. He was a live performer. I mean, really, just sort of one of these people off in the fringes that I don't really know if we appreciate as much as we should. But that was a great piece. And, you know, another one of my favorite groups here, and I've been fascinated with them, and I think I told you this in an email. I could listen to Java Jive over and over and over again. It's, the Inkspots, If I Didn't Care, and maybe give us a little background info on this.
Sure. The Inkspots were formed as a duo in 1931 in Indianapolis, although only one of the original members was actually from Indianapolis, a fellow named Jerry Daniels. The other member, Charlie Fuqua, was from New Haven, Connecticut. The two of them performed under the name Kyle and Charlie. And in 1933, Ivory Deke Watson joined the duo, which then became a trio, and they changed their stage name to King, Jack, and Jester. In 1934, the trio became a quartet with the addition of Orville Hoppy Jones, and the same year they changed their name to the Four Inkspots. And it was in 1936 that the famous tenor Bill Kinney replaced Jerry Daniels. And it's Bill Kinney's voice you are most familiar with hearing on most of the Inkspot songs. And it was with him that the group reached its highest peak of fame with the 1939 recording that became one of their biggest hits, If I Didn't Care.
You know, and if for no other reason, just the fact that they had somebody with the nickname of Hoppy in the lineup. I mean, it was one of my other, you know, fascinations with all things vintage is just some of the great nicknames. And I guess music always has different nicknames. Probably in jazz you run into a lot of nicknames. But Deke Watson, Hoppy Jones, I mean, what could be cooler than that? Here's the Inkspots.
If I didn't care more than words can say, if I didn't care, would I feel this way? If this isn't love, then why do I thrill? And what makes my head go round and round while my heart stands still? If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for you?
If I didn't care, honey child, more than words can say. If I didn't care, would I feel this way? Darling, if this isn't love, then why do I thrill so much? And what is it that makes my head go round and round while my heart just stands still so much?
If I didn't care, would it be the same? Would my every prayer begin and end with just your name? And would I be sure that this is love beyond compare? Would all this be true if I didn't care for?
Well, you know, that's the reason I love the Inkspots. And, you know, for anybody who listens to more than a few of their songs, you know, one of the things that I don't know if you noticed this, Ron, but I have a CD of some Inkspot stuff, and I was listening to it with my son. Almost all their songs seem to begin with the same little guitar chords and then go into a different song. It's very hard to pick them up, you know, for the first few seconds until they get going and get into the song itself. But just their influence, especially on a lot of the bands in the 50s, some of the doo-wop style of singers and the little soliloquies during the songs, a very entertaining and very influential group, weren't they?
Yes, and that what you're talking about is something Bill Kenny came up with, the introduction with the little guitar and Bill Kenny singing most of the lead, and then one of the other members, which one sang the bass, I don't recall at this time, but he would have a part where he'd speak, and then Bill Kenny would come back to finish the song out.
And just beautiful voices, you know, just so sweet to listen to, and even if you took the musical accompaniment away, I mean, I'm sure they still would sound absolutely wonderful. Well, anyway, a little change in gear here, shifting gears a little bit, moving up the timeline. You've got some Jerry Vale here, There Goes My Heart. What was up with Jerry, and how did he get his start? I heard he got to start shining shoes.
Yeah, when he was in high school, he took a job in a barber shop shining shoes, and while he shined shoes, he sang. And the barber liked his singing so much that he paid for his music lessons. And he went on to sing in high school musicals at a local nightclub. And eventually he linked up with a fellow who became his manager and changed his name from his real name, Gennaro Luigi Vitaliano, to his stage name, Jerry Vale. And ended up with a recording contract with Columbia Records.
Yeah, you know, and it is very common, you know, the old stage name. But I'll tell you a funny aside. When I worked in Boston, I used to work right downtown, and there was a building across the street from where I was, and it was sort of a throwback building. It was, I believe it was 50 Congress Street was the address. It was this probably building went up in the teens or the 20s, and you would go downstairs when you went into the building if you weren't going up into the elevators to the offices. So you go downstairs, and they had a newspaper stand, you know, cigarettes, snacks, candy. They had a shoe shine stand that was fully staffed, three guys who would still shine shoes, and they had a barber shop. And the barber, I can't remember his name, but he was an older Italian fellow, and he had a younger guy who worked with him. His English wasn't too good. He had two pictures up in the barbershop. Jerry Vale and Frank Sinatra were his two favorites.
Wow.
And it was kind of fun when you'd go in there. He just, I don't know if it was a point of his, you know, national pride, these were his entertaining favorites, or if he just enjoyed the music. Sometimes he had a little sort of pre-boombox days, but he had a small tape deck, and occasionally he would play. I used to hear the Sinatra. I never went in when he had the veil on, but anyway, here's Jerry Vale, and There Goes My Heart.
There goes my heart. There goes the one I love. There goes the girl I wasn't worthy of. There goes my happiness. It couldn't be. There goes somebody else in place of me. Never thought that she could pass me by. There goes my heart, and here am I. Goodbye, romance. It couldn't last somehow. Could pass me by. There goes my heart, and here am I.
Well, you know, what a great voice he had. And again, you know, it's the type of voice that you just don't hear amongst modern performers, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. And we should point out also, Paul, that this song was not from the big band era. It's from the mid-1960s, actually.
Yeah, I think it was like 65 or so, something like that. But you know, he was a guy who had a very long career, too, and I can remember his recordings were very, very popular amongst, you know, folks my parents' age. You would always see collections of them, you know, on TV. Order now. Two long-playing discs. And if you call before midnight tonight, you'll get free shipping. But the reason they could still sell that stuff is he had quite a following, and he was very popular up here in the New York, New Jersey area. So he's a great, another great male vocalist. And we've got another guy with a great voice for a guy, and band leader and singer, Vaughn Monroe, another guy I really enjoy listening to with that big, powerful voice. What do we've got here? We've got Vaughn Monroe and the Moon Maids.
Yeah, this is a song from a 1947 movie called Carnegie Hall, and the name of the song is Beware My Heart. During the period right after World War II, a lot of the big bands were breaking up, but this seemed to be a period when Vaughn Monroe was experiencing some of his greatest fame.
Well, you know, it was great that he could keep on keeping on, and it's the type of music that somebody had to keep the torch burning. I'm glad he could. So here's Vaughn Monroe, Beware My Heart.
Take care, my heart. This is a honesty. Don't listen to the little tap of lively laughter, or you will cry for it forever after. Beware, my heart, of violins in the night when she.
Super Deluxe. And you know, I did a little research. I found a big band site, and apparently not only were there the Moon Maids, there was a counterpart male group, the Moon Men, that I'd never imagined that, you know. So, and
I've never heard of that until you told me.
You know, I was poking around, and I think I just popped in Moon Maids into Google, and I found myself on a big band site. And it wasn't really much in the way of, I don't know how much music was on there, but they had a lot of, you know, sort of that secondary level, not the superstar, but a secondary level of big band performer. They had names of all these various groups and singers who performed with different bands, many of whom I had never heard, but I got a charge out of Moon Men, you know, sort of a precursor to the space age craze that gripped America coming up in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, what a great way to close out an evening of music with old Uncle Ron Ramirez here. Glenn Miller, That Old Black Magic. Is this one of your favorites?
Yes, it is. It's another great standard written by Johnny Mercer and Harold Arlen. Mercer actually wrote the song with Judy Garland in mind, and she did record the song the same year Glenn Miller did, which was in 1942, and that particular song became Miller's final number one hit in 1943.
Well, you know, without further ado, here's Glenn Miller, That Old Black Magic.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my flies by, the same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine, the same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name, and I'm aflame. Aflame with such a burning desire
that only your kiss can put out the fire.
Well, you know, you hear something like that, and, you know, it's just, he left us so much, but he just left us so early, didn't he? It was just a shame that he couldn't continue his songbook after being lost during the war, was it?
Yeah, that's true. And I should mention also, I don't know if you noticed or not, the vocalist sounded a lot like Bob Eberly. It wasn't Bob Eberly. His name was Skip Nelson, and he came in to replace Ray Eberly, who was Bob's brother.
Yeah, there was always a lot of, it's funny because, you know, now people see bands break up and sometimes you don't see people reassemble themselves, but in the big band days, you did have people who would skip from orchestra to orchestra for various reasons, political reasons, you know, weren't getting along or they thought they had a better opportunity or they weren't getting a fair shake. But that in itself would be a fascinating book. You could probably go through a cast of people who rotated through some of the great big bands and had such a great influence on music and entertainment of those days. And again, as we always say here on Tube Talk, doesn't it sound good played through a well-restored, finely playing vintage radio, doesn't it, Ron?
No doubt about it.
Now, you know, not only do we have to give Ron a big thank you for sharing some of this music and a little bit of insight into the young Ron Ramirez and his career in radio tonight, I just have to confirm something. Is it true that you picked up a couple of Zenith radios when you were up in Lansing?
That is correct. I actually have joined the Big Black Dial fan club. Oh. I have two Black Dial Zeniths now.
Well, good for you. Yeah, they looked like pretty good sets as far as they were well-kept cosmetically, so hopefully the chassis won't give you too much trouble. Did you have a chance to take a peek in the back?
Well, the small one, the 5S29 table model, actually works. And the 9S262 console is going to need quite a bit of work, but it looks really good.
Well, you know, you never know what you'll find or where you'll find it. I was out the other day. I was roaming around, and, you know, sometimes I'll look for a little piece of occasional furniture to put a radio on or play a tabletop radio around the house. So, you know, I'll go into a secondhand store or an old, you know, not really antiquing because I don't have the money for real antiques, but I'll go into the secondhand stores and the thrift shop. So I popped into this place with my little boy, and we went in and we're looking around, and well, he got a find because he found this vintage book on fishing. So, you know, he was satisfied, because usually he hates these types of trips. He's like, oh no, not more radio hunting. So
yeah.
I casually mentioned to the lady in the shop, I said, well, you know, I'm just looking for something small, you know, sort of a something I put next to a chair to sit a radio on occasionally. And she says, oh, we have this and that. And she says, but if you like radios, why don't you come with me over into the other section of the building? So we go out the front door, we walk around the back, and we go into this other section of the building. And apparently she works with some people that she sells stuff on consignment for, and they were in the process of trying to liquidate this estate. And she shows me this big, beautiful, looks like an armoire. And I'm like, wow, what's this? And it certainly wasn't from the 30s or 40s. It looks maybe late 40s, early 50s. But she opens the door, and I have to tell you, it was absolutely stunning because the cabinet was in exceptional shape. It was an Andrea TV radio combination. It had to be about 4 foot tall. Had one of the larger tubes that I've seen on an antique TV, and I'm not a big TV guy. I haven't seen that many, but normally I figure smaller tubes, older sets. But the thing was stunning, and you just look at it, and it's got the radio placed below the TV tube. It had a piece of, looked like plate glass in front of the tube itself, maybe so people wouldn't poke it or bang on it or smudge it. I'm not quite sure what the reason behind it was. And there it sits. It's a beautiful piece of furniture, but you know, it always comes down to, Ron, on these things, who's got the room?
Oh, yeah, especially with console radios and radio TV combos. They take up so much room so quickly. Paul, if I may, we had mentioned at the onset, and we didn't really get into this, Kutztown was absolutely amazing. As a matter of fact, it was almost overwhelming. Lansing was pretty awesome itself, but there's no comparison between the two. It wouldn't be fair to compare the two meets because they're two completely different meets.
Sure.
Lansing is run by the Michigan Antique Radio Club. They have seminars. They have an auction, which Kutztown has an auction as well. But Kutztown, it's all about the radios. I like what Mike Coase said. The only rule is radio's rule.
Yeah, it has we were talking when we had him on the show, it has a nice feel to it. It's in a location that lends itself to that whole antiquing mentality. I guess the folks who run the facility down there are top-notch. And, you know, just, again, if you don't buy anything, just to go down and to ogle the eye candy and to talk to folks and to make a few new friends and to, you know, see some things you've never seen before, which is, you know, one of the things that I, you know, that's my idea of fun now. It's can I go and see a few things that I've never seen anywhere else? And, you know, normally, especially at these bigger venues, you do. And it just makes it well worth the trip. So I've got to put that on my list. And in addition to putting that on my list, did you have a Basin Street burger when you were down the Basin Street Grill? I have to ask.
I actually did not.
Next time.
You know, I just had a couple of drinks and you know, just something light. We didn't have a full meal. Yeah, next time.
That's next time. And it just, I guess that place has sort of been the unofficial club for a lot of the guys and gals who are down at the fairgrounds, like to head over there, from what Mike was telling me. So we can go down, as we say in Boston, and get ourselves a lager, you know, without an R.
Absolutely.
Without an R. You know, well,
yeah,
you dodged the bullet, though, Rod. Next time you're on, I'm working up a quiz that I'll be giving to future guests. It's the Boston accent quiz, and I'll give you a clue. Everybody will pass the test except me, because I base it on words that, you know, we just absolutely murder up here. But in any event, so that's another reason to stay tuned to Tube Talk. Ron, thank you so much for sharing your time tonight, sharing your music, and thanks for all the great work at philcoradio.com and the Philco Forum. You've been a great guest. Thanks again for being on tonight.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
You're very welcome. Well, it's not going to be easy to top that music we just had with Ron, but here's a little Billy Eckstine. We'll try to keep it going here.
If I told a lie, if I made you cry, when I said goodbye, I'm sorry. From the bottom of my heart, dear, I'll apologize. If I cause you pain. I know I am to blame. Must have been insane. Believe me, from the bottom of my heart, dear, I applaud. After all, we were more than friends. Give me back your glance. Give me back romance. Give me one more chance. Forgive me. I forgive me from the bottom of my heart, dear. I apologize.
Yes, how delightful that voice is, Billy Eckstein. We'd just like to take a moment to remind you all that you are listening to Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM. This is the show for the music lover, the antique radio enthusiast, or the person who still just enjoys a pleasurable, finely produced, independent broadcast program on AM radio. We're here for you each and every Friday night at 10 p.m. If you would like to email the show with a question, a comment, a reaction, a suggestion for a guest, please don't hesitate to email me at tubetalk1@gmail.com. That's tubetalk, the number one, at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. This is Nancy Wilson.
to wander, solitary, wide my world, narrow my bed, never, never, never will I marry, born to wander, till I'm dead.
Thanks, Nancy. Well, it's almost time for Tube Talk to ride into the sunset here for another week. We hope to see you next week. Tell your friends, tell everybody you know in the hobby, tell all your music-loving friends to join us each and every Friday, 10 o'clock, WRCA 1330 AM, over the broadcast band, also streaming on their website, and you can get 1330 WRCA on iHeartRadio and tune in. So, till next week, I hope we made the world go away a little bit for you.
Make the world go away and get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say. Me astray. If you do, then forgive me and make the world go away. Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to and make the world go away. Make
night.